Good morning, church, and welcome to all of you visiting, whether you're here with us today in person or visiting with us online today. As we jump into our steady return to the basics of what it looks like to live as disciples of Jesus, Jesus who died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. On the cross, Jesus purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. That's an amazing gift. But to receive that gift is to be bound to him, to yield our entire lives to him. To follow him, then, is to embody lifestyles of worship, community, and mission. So if you take a look at this slide, we have these three lifestyles, and the content of our next six parts of the series are these habits under each of these lifestyles. So under a lifestyle of worship, we remain in the gospel. That's today. And we're renewed by the Spirit through scripture and prayer. That's the topic of next week. Under lifestyle community, we see a habit of living life with the local church and building one another up in love. And the last 2 weeks of our series under a lifestyle of mission is that habit of loving our neighbors, of making disciples of Jesus. You'll notice that all six of these habits begin with the word we, because living as disciples of Jesus is something that we do together. Remember the how of discipleship. We hear from God and obey God, what? With others. That way we're learning together. We're encouraging one another. We're challenging one another. And discipleship isn't just something that an older leader or older Christian provides for a new believer or a young person. Like, we need each other to disciple one another. I need you to disciple me, to help me become more like Jesus. I want to help you as well. We need to help each other. There's no spectators in the church. So we're going to dive into these habits together, because the expectation is that we'd be people who give ourselves to these little things in a big way. But we're beginning with a habit today that is deeply restful, out of which all of these other things ultimately flow. So all of our focus will only be on this first habit under a lifestyle of worship. As followers of Jesus, we remain in the gospel. Before we jump in, let's pray. Oh Lord, help us to rest in your grace, in your kindness, in your mercy, in your love toward us today and every day. In all the little moments where we struggle to find our identity or our purpose or our value in other things, God, would you make us aware in those moments so we can stop and come to you, turn towards you, and receive your grace, and let it wash over us this day. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As followers of Jesus, we remain in the gospel. This is what we do. This is a habit for our whole lives. So why is this the first habit under a lifestyle of worship? Worship is about ascribing worth. It's about orienting our lives around the most valuable thing. And the reason this is the first key habit under a lifestyle of worship is because Jesus is the most valuable thing. And the gospel is all about the person and the work of Jesus. That's why we remain in the gospel. We are orienting our lives around Jesus consciously, regularly, as a habit. This is just what we do. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples in chapter 15 of the book of John. He says this: "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine. You're the branches." Take a look at this image. See that big thick thing on the top? That's the vine. The branch is that little tiny thing in the upper right-hand corner holding all of that fruit. If that little branch was severed from the vine, it would wither on the ground. See, Jesus doesn't say, "Apart from me, you can do some things," or "Apart from me, you can do anything, just not as well." Right? He says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." But if you remain in me and I in you, you will produce much fruit, and that fruit will last. So elsewhere in the book of John, people come to Jesus saying that they want to do the work that God requires of them. They're like, we want to follow you. We want to do what God requires. So they ask Jesus what they're supposed to do. And he could have said anything was the work of God in that moment. He could have said, hey, you need to go out and give everything that you have away to five people, or go save someone with your life, or go be kind, you know, 10 acts of kindness. Do something good today. What he said is this. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. It's because everything else that we do, any good that God has planned for our lives, is an overflow of our connection to Jesus. We cannot do those things apart from him without burning ourselves out or twisting them in some way or another. See, to believe in Jesus is to orient our whole life around him, to derive our sense of identity from him. You are who he says you are. To derive your sense of purpose from him. You care about what he cares about. And to derive your sense of value and security from him. You are valuable because he paid full price for you on a cross. Something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. This is why the gospel is so restful. These truths are deeply nourishing to our identity, our purpose, our value. We have to focus on this one voice that really matters and not let the other ones rise above it. I encourage you this morning to flee from this anxious world to the one true vine that nourishes you. Flee from this anxious world to the one true vine that nourishes you. Think for a moment what happens when we leave this vine, when in practice, when we neglect to remain in the love that Jesus has for us, and we go after false vines, right? We can search for value, identity, and purpose in any number of things. You know, it could be a relationship with someone. It could be money, politics, a sense of comfort, maybe our favorite sports team. But all of these things are fleeting. Like on a superficial level with sports, think about this. When someone's team wins, they always say, we won. Like they were right down there on the field making the big play. But if a team loses, it's like, oh, they lost. They stink, right? Because we disassociate our identity from something that we feel like isn't serving us. And if we think it's good, we want to identify with it. But those things disappoint us. And the stakes are way higher outside of sports. Sometimes when those false vines fail us, we panic. Like this mob that stormed the Capitol earlier this week. What are they so afraid of losing? Political clout? Cultural status, some personal privilege or freedom. None of those things determine our identity, value, or purpose. And what about us? How many countless times throughout our week do we fear to fail something? Maybe it's a quiz because our value comes from being perfect student. Or maybe we lash out at our kids because we're so afraid of being seen as bad parents. Or maybe we drink too much or escape some other way to get away from all the pressure we feel to perform well at our jobs or in our responsibilities. How many times do we internally criticize ourselves for saying or doing the wrong thing, imagining that shame and contempt will motivate us to be better people? How many times do we compare ourselves to others, wondering about how they look compared to us and what we've acquired compared to them at this point in their life so that we can add just a few more data points to our sense of identity, purpose, and value? I just want to ask you this morning, how is that working for you? Why do you feel so anxious? Why do you feel so much pressure? Why do you feel so inadequate? Or alone, or lost, or purposeless, or worthless. There is good news for you today. See, while we were off worshiping other things and sinning to our own harm and to the harm of others, God showed his extravagant love toward us when he came for us through the person and work of Jesus, lived a perfect life and then died in our place and was raised from the dead to prove his authority over all things and to give us a way out of judgment for our sin. And that way is Jesus. To believe in him, to receive the grace and forgiveness he purchased for us, is to be found in him, righteous and clean, without a single fault. See, in him, we are the children of God and co-heirs with the King, Jesus. That's our identity. How amazing is that? And in him, we go out in love to proclaim the King and to creatively restore goodness amidst the wreckage of this world. That's our purpose. What an amazing purpose. And in him, there's no question about our value. We are infinitely valuable because the infinitely valuable one gave his own life in exchange for ours. That's the law of transitive property. But that's why we must remain in the gospel. To step outside of that truth, outside of the gospel, is to refuse God's forgiveness and what he offers us and to set out on our own in an attempt to save ourselves. To do so is not noble or wise. It's spiritual suicide. When I had just graduated college and I was raising support for the ministry, there was just heavy responsibility that I felt. And I was terrified a lot of days. I was afraid. And sometimes I would escape from my responsibility, sometimes for hours, just wasted time and escape into different sins and had a pattern of just moving away from the things I had to do out of my fear, out of my insecurity. And I remember on one such occasion when I had sinned, I had wasted some time and I knelt down before God and I prayed, God, I confess my fear and insecurity. I confess that I escaped into sin and away from the things you're calling me to. I confessed it. And then I said, God, I repent. I turn from those things and I turn back to you in this moment. And I was just about to pray, I receive your grace and forgiveness, but then I stopped short. Something in me got caught up, and I said instead, you know what, God, I can't just keep coming back for more grace. I got to figure this out. I can't just keep sinning in the same ways and coming back to you again and again for another handout. It was like some false nobility in me was rising up and saying, hey, how presumptuous are you going back to God again for more forgiveness when you can't even get over the same sin? Then I felt the beautiful and strong rebuke of the Holy Spirit in that moment, as if he was saying to me, Kyle, for you to go anywhere else in this moment for the grace and forgiveness that you need is nothing more than idolatry. You come back to me every time. You come back to me every time. All that false nobility was just pride in disguise. So I humbled myself again and prayed, oh Lord, I receive your grace. What you did on the cross was and is still today, this very moment, good enough to forgive me completely. I'm still your kid, and you still love me, and we're still talking. These sorts of moments ought to fill our hours, our days, our weeks, our years. We are never done confessing and repenting and leaning into God's grace. We're never done with those things. And those moments, they're not desperate pleas. They're not groveling. It's not as if we're saying, God, please don't be mad at us. Please forgive us this time. I know this was bad, but please forgive us. No, all the work necessary to accomplish forgiveness for us was done when Jesus said, it is finished, on a cross beneath the noonday sun. What's left is for us to receive that grace, to let it sink deeper and deeper into our hearts. So we come to him and we receive freshly, as often as we need. As Christians, we never graduate from the gospel. We enter the kingdom through the power of the gospel, but the gospel is not entry-level stuff. It is the beginning, the middle, and the end of our walk with Jesus. It's the bachelor's, the master's, and the PhD. It's our first day of school, our daily profession, and our life's work. We remain in the gospel. Amen? And the first ongoing action that helps us build this habit is this very simply, very concretely. Confess and repent of sin. Receive God's grace. It's an ongoing action for a reason. We need to do this, and it helps build a habit of remaining in the gospel, which grows into a lifestyle of worship as gratitude increases in our life, the more that we revel in how much we've been forgiven and loved by such a good God. But sometimes there's nothing harder than receiving God's grace. Because grace is undeserved favor, and sometimes we are all too aware of how much we don't deserve it. It's tough to take a handout from God. That's why it's helpful to confess our sins to one another as well, to other brothers or sisters in the church who are made in God's image, people we can trust who can remind us of the truth of the gospel, because sometimes we need to have someone look us in the eye and tell us what's true, to share the good news with us. And that's why this second ongoing action that helps us build this habit of remaining in the gospel is very simply, very concretely, ask someone to share truths of the gospel with you. Ask someone. I've been doing this. I love doing this. You share truths of the gospel with me. You just share something from the gospel with me. I just need to hear it from someone. We ought to ask this of one another regularly and be ready to respond if someone asks you. And I want you to understand that if someone asks you to share truths of the gospel, just know that that's asking for something, inviting something different than just saying, oh, what you did isn't that bad. Or, I like you. You're a good person. You're great. See, the gospel is not the same as giving good advice or boosting someone's self-esteem. It is simply reminding someone of the truth of what Jesus did for them and how Jesus views them and feels about them. Maybe you'd read a specific verse from the Bible, like John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. Maybe you just have one verse in your back pocket if someone asks you that. But if you don't feel comfortable with your Bible yet, you're not sure, you don't know your way around it too well right now, that's okay. You could simply share something like this. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, you are completely forgiven and clean today. Or Jesus has given you the same Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. You are never alone. Or Jesus loves you just as much today as the day he gave his life for you. And he was raised from the dead so that he can be with you always. Nothing can separate you from his love. I speak that over you this morning so that you can speak it over one another and speak it over me. These are simple truths of the gospel, but it often helps the truth sink in when we can see these things, hear these things from a brother or sister in Christ. So I'm going to pray for us, and then I'm going to invite Amy Grace up to join me on stage so we can model what it looks like to live this habit, remaining in the gospel, and the how of discipleship, hearing from God and obeying God with others. Each of the sermons from here on out in this series are going to have a modeling component, and so we're going to do that for you today and believe God to do something awesome. So let's pray. Father, in the coming moments, we are going to be quiet before you. We are going to step away from the program of this morning and listen for your voice. We are banking on you speaking to us. We need you to speak to us. And I beg you to do it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. We are going to take about 90 seconds to 2 minutes maybe. And we're going to listen for the voice of the Lord. And I'd encourage you, as you reflect on a lifestyle of worship this morning, how is God getting your attention? As you reflect on a lifestyle of worship this morning, how is God getting your attention? And we're going to be quiet. We're going to listen for his voice. And then Amy Grace and I are going to be doing the same. And then we're going to engage one another in these ongoing actions in an attempt to remain in the gospel personally, genuinely. This is not all rehearsed and planned. We're listening. So, God help us. All right, let's pray. God, how are you getting our attention this morning?